This is All Things Considered on KCRW. I'm Madeline Brand. Happy Film Review Friday. We're going to get some movie recommendations now with Alonzo Duralde and Dave White. They are film critics for The Wrap and hosts of the podcast Linoleum Knife. Hello, hello.
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 Well, let's begin with the biggest release this weekend, and that is In the Heights. It is, of course, the film adaptation of Lin-Manuel Miranda's Tony Award-winning musical from back in, 2008, all about the Washington Heights neighborhood in New York City. And here is a bit from the trailer.
We all had a sueñito. And when it came to dreams, we had to keep scraping by.
Maybe this neighborhood's changing forever. Maybe tonight is our last night together, however.
I just want to see the whole world through her eyes.
They're talking about kicking out all the dreamers. It's time to make some noise.
All right, Alonzo, let's begin with you. First, tell us about the plot. What is this about?
Well, it's basically it's a portrait of a neighborhood. It's Washington Heights at the far upper end of the island of Manhattan. And we get to know a handful of characters and see them through their personal dreams and ambitions, some of which are a reflection of being the children of immigrants, some of which are about the pressures of, you know, achieving as Latinos in a you know, world run by white people, some of which are, you know, simply about falling in love and finding happiness. And so we get to know the guy who runs the bodega and the woman who works at the beauty shop who has dreams of becoming a fashion designer and the college student and the taxi dispatcher and, you know, the grandmother who sort of takes care of everybody. And, you know, over the course of one very hot summer, we see where their destinies lie and what they'll be able to accomplish for themselves.
Mixed in with a lot of singing and dancing and glorious set pieces, right?
Very much so. This is, you know, when we see adaptations of stage musicals, you know, they can go in a lot of different directions. And, you know, here they've hired John M. Chu, who, you know, gave us Step Up to the Streets, who's given us a lot of films with a lot of really exuberant singing and dancing. And, you know, so he's shooting what would appear to be on location. There's a lot of people dancing in streets and on sidewalks and in front of, you know, in front of apartment buildings. And, you know, it gives it a real snap that, you know, even a stage musical can't quite do. You know, you can't do the tricks with a camera. You can't do the tricks of overhead shots, you know, the way that movies can. And this film takes full advantage of all of that. I liked it quite a bit. A lot of musicals, I think, unfortunately, deal with that sort of act two dip where they have all that plot to deal with. And then they finish things up with a big number. So you feel leaving great. This movie has a bit of that going on. But, you know, the dip is worth it for all of the excitement of everything that snaps so much.
Dave, did this make you get up and boogie?
Well, you see, I don't do that. But the musical numbers in this film are thrilling. The story is very big. It's very expansive. There's a lot of characters. Alonzo said a handful. There's like three handfuls of characters.
Fair enough.
It's extremely sweet, a well-scrubbed, brightly colored, shiny, idealized world like you see in so many old school musicals, and because of that it's also very corny. But you know what, I've been inside a year and a half. I want to go to a movie theater and see this.
Yeah. Moving on to The Power of the Gangwon Province, and this is a Korean film from the 90s. It's streaming this weekend at the Lincoln Center. Dave, tell us about this movie.
This is a restoration of Hong Sang-soo's second feature from 1998. It is, let's call it the opposite of In the Heights, in that even though it is a very good film, it will not make you happy. It is the story of two groups of people. The first half of the film, some young college women are on a vacation trip to the mountains. They get drunk. They say mean things to each other. One of them is having an affair with a married man back home. Apparently she's dumped him. Now she's going to have a weekend affair with a married police officer. And then their story stops. And then the second story picks up.
Okay.
And what you see is a shot on a train from the perspective of two men who are traveling to the same place at the same time. They do not interact with the women at all. Except one of them is the married guy that one of the women had an affair with.
And
broke up with, although they never meet. They never know that each other's on the train or on the same trip. In this story, their actions, the men's actions, very, very similarly mirror the actions of the women, right down to some specific details about, you know, having drunken conversations and insulting each other, having incredibly unsatisfactory sex with strangers. And in the meanwhile, in the background, there's a murder going on.
You keep dropping these bombs. I'm like lulled into, oh, okay. And then, oh, okay. Alonzo, exactly. Why is this a good watch more than 20 years after its release? Why are you recommending this?
I have to say, I was reminded at times of the immortal line from Edith Massey in Female Trouble, where she says, the world of heterosexuals is a sick and boring place, because this movie just gives you so many terrible relationships between the marriages of the men who are cheating on their wives to the extramarital affairs these guys are having with the college student that's also miserable, to the fact that the murder is a husband and wife. I mean, like, this is just this array of bad decisions and awful people. And yet it is riveting, because I think it really does kind of address aspects of the human condition in a way that really sneak up on you and really have this cumulative power over the course of the film. It is mostly people on trains and in restaurants and having seemingly kind of banal quotidian conversations. But the ultimate effect is this portrait of these people who are all kind of doomed in various ways. And it's fascinating to watch.
Okay. The power of the Kangwon province, that's at the Lincoln Center. Up next, a film called Holler. It's a coming-of-age story about a young woman dreaming of leaving her small hometown in Ohio. And here's a bit from the trailer.
Oh, my God.
What?
You just got into college.
Have a life here.
That's some life here, huh?
Move fast. Follow the wires.
Sounds illegal.
You know, I'm not slow, honey. I know what you've been doing.
You stay in this town because you're scared. Scared to call, scared to leave.
You stay here because you're weak.
Okay, Alonzo, what's happening? What's the plot here?
So this is set in a never specifically a noted location, but it's the Rust Belt, I think it's fair to say. And, you know, it's a town that is growing more and more depressed. There's one factory still open and up and running, and by the end of the film, there's not even that. We meet a young woman named Ruth, who is a high school senior, played by British actress Jessica Barden, and her brother has sent in her college application, even though she has no particular interest or desire in going. And over the course of the film, she and her brother go into business with this guy who runs a scrapyard, and it basically involves breaking into places and stealing old copper wiring and old machinery. And over the course of the film, she comes to realize that maybe getting out of town might be a good idea after all. Their mother is played by Pamela Adlon. She is refusing to go to rehab.
It sounds a little like it's trying to be Winter's Bone.
I mean, it's not rewriting the sort of coming of age against the backdrop of American economic devastation movie necessarily, but it's doing it really well. This is the directorial debut of Nicole Riegel, who also wrote the film. And there's a very specific sense of place here. You really get to understand this community. You can sort of see where it's been and what happened to it based on the scars that have been left behind. But Barden, I think, is very intuitive about understanding what it is, even amidst this ruin and chaos of what's left of this community, what makes staying there comfortable, but then also what there is inside of her that's going to get her out of there.
Dave, did you like it?
Quite a bit. You mentioned Winter's Bone. And yes, there are similarities here. Winter's Bone is a more harrowing sort of experience, I would say. This one feels more pulled back and subdued and more involved in what might really happen on a day-to-day basis in someone's life if they are living in, you know, an incredibly poor economic situation. I would more likely compare this film to Hillbilly Elegy, but in a good way, because this reminded me of Hillbilly Elegy without the undercurrent of self-congratulatory right-wing bootstraps nonsense. It's a really nice debut.
Holler is on video on demand and in a couple of theaters locally. Finally, our last film today is called Sublet. It follows an older New York Times travel writer as he goes to Tel Aviv to write his column, and then he meets a young, good-looking guy who helps him see the city and a lot more, of course. Here's a bit from the trailer.
So what's the plan?
I write a column for the New York Times, The Intrepid Traveler. I have a list. All those the must-sees?
Yeah. If you are a Jewish princess on her birthright tour, yeah.
The idea is to see how much I can discover about a city.
And what did you discover about Tel Aviv?
It's unlike any other place I've visited.
Dave, dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, dot, dot, dot. Over the course of 5 days, a gay middle-aged travel writer goes to Tel Aviv. He meets, he's played by John Benjamin Hickey. He meets a young gay Israeli man played by Niv Nissim, his first film. And they learn from each other about life from the perspectives of their different generations. The older man is wise and a bit banged around by life, and the young man is brash and energetic and thinks he knows better because of it. But you know what happens? Guess what?
Did life you know lessons are learned.
If you are older, you can learn things from young people. And if you are young, you can learn things from old people.
You couldn't tell from the trailer at all that that was going to happen.
I Alonzo and I, as queer film critics and spouses, we want to root for queer-themed film. It's Pride Month, after all. I would like a movie that doesn't tell me stuff I already know. I think even a 28-year-old, who's how old the young character is in this film, I think even a 28-year-old would see this movie and think, I know. and that really, you know, kind of binds it for me. I didn't feel like I was being given anything fresh. As John Waters has famously said, gay is not enough.
Alonzo, what did you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is, I also wanted to root for this one. It's directed by Eitan Fox, who is a leading Israeli director and also, I think, a leading queer director on the global scene. And I'm a fan of a lot of his films, Yossi and Jaeger and its follow-up Yossi.
Exactly, yes.
Cupcakes. He had a great musical miniseries biopic called Mary Lou that I don't know if it ever got out of the festival circuit in this country, but if you can find it, I recommend it. This feels like he's maybe angling for a movie that's going to really land in the United States between the American character and between this kind of, as Dave says, sort of obvious plotting and character development. I mean, he does shoot Tel Aviv in a really interesting way. He always does. He always, you know, captures the vitality of the city. I've never been there, but I feel like I have a sense of the place of it from having seen his movies. But yeah, to cite an adjective Dave pulled out earlier, this is kind of corny.
All right. Well, it is too bad we didn't have a better film to talk about during Pride Month, but the month is long, and hopefully we will later on.
We live in hope.
We do. Alonzo Duralde and Dave White are film critics for The Wrap and hosts of the podcast Linoleum Knife. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks. Thank you.